listener exclusive.
The Bidgee Bubble.
It's the podcast where the locals go for all the things worth hearing about in the Riverina MIA, as well as the stories behind the local legends that walk amongst us. And it's the latter that we're dedicating this week's episode in its entirety to on the Bidgee Bubble. Hi, you with Matty Ray. And our guest this week is a man who was born and schooled here in Griffith. Today, though, he's heard right around the country as one half of the longest-running tech show podcast. He's also heard here and right across the country regularly on TV and radio. Techspert Trevor Long, welcome to the Bidgee Bubble.
G'day, mate. Great to be here.
Yes, Trevor is zooming in via his man cave for this chat. Zooming. Can we say that about Zoom, or is it still...
I don't mind it, actually. I don't think I've ever heard it used like that. No, that's good.
Cool.
I like it.
Cool. I'll believe you, though, that you like it when you use it on Channel 9 next, okay?
Oh, okay, right.
I was going to ask that because Skype, is that still the agreed word for web chats in the technological landscape, even though it's not existed as Skype as we know it for some time now?
You can still download Skype on your phone, and I still do the odd Skype here and there. But, you know, Microsoft, when they bought Skype, I think then they went all in to take that technology. They bought Skype to take that technology and build out Teams, which is... honestly, the worst of the video networking systems. Geez, COVID gave us a lot, but Zoom's probably the one thing that we'll take away from it.
It's good for chat, I think. We use it as a chat over at Southern Cross Stereo, though I feel like for meetings and virtual meetings, we use WebEx. So yeah, that's it. Well, what a day it's been. It's great to have you on, given the time constraints that you face every day, as Qantas has decided to reveal the details of everybody who got a boarding pass off their app today. Can you tell me where John Citizen's going to again? Was it Sydney to Mackay via
I've got Brisbane? A couple. I took screenshots of 8 or 9 different people's details. I'm actually trying to ring one. I'm trying to track one of them down so that I can kind of get a sense of how they feel about it. But I've got, I know one guy that's traveling to Gladstone from Sydney via Brisbane. I know another one's coming from Mackay to, I think, Melbourne. I know one going from Sydney to Perth. And I saw one poor lady called Natalia, who I have her booking reference number for a future trip from Auckland to Sydney. So it's like, I just feel like it was a wild thing. And that's a really, actually today, the day we're recording this, is a really good example of how just completely random my days are. You know, I didn't wake up today. I woke up today with a pretty chilled day of, you know, just a few things to do. And it just went absolutely pear-shaped at 8 o'clock when a couple of people texted me and said, you should look at this. And then I let everyone know. You know, I was on Channel 9 within 20 minutes, did Sky News half an hour later, and I've done most radio since.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, tech nerds, we talk about them. They get teased a bit at school, but there comes a time when we really do need one, or pray that they're on our side.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, you are not permanently in Griffith anymore, to my knowledge, though many of us still hear you weekly on radio. It's often preceded by this.
Hey, Siri. What time is it?
It's Tech Talk time with Trevor Long.
Thanks.
Trevor Long was born in Griffith. Each week provides technology news and information on over 50 radio stations across Australia, and appears on 2 podcasts, and Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Yep.
Trevor appears regularly on the 9 Networks Today Show across Australia as their resident tech expert.
From EFTM.com, it's Trevor Long.
Okay, Trev. Let's get the honest truth out. Hearing that before your radio chat right across the Triple M network, is it gratifying or annoying, over the top or not far enough?
I love it. I do. Because I do a lot of radio every week, and it's probably the most it's the most thought out intro of all.
Yeah.
It's very long, I'll be honest. Yes. I feel like if we're tight for time, I'm like, we should just get into what we know. But it's pretty awesome because you know what? I still call Griffith, you know, my birthplace. It's where I was born. So it's really cool that I can have this kind of full circle thing where, you know, what I do is some relation back to where I was born. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Excellent. And let me ask, I should say, you didn't have any role in how that one came out, or it's just completely down to our wonderful production team at SCA, right?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I think they got bored of us just doing a really clean out of the break intro, and they went, we should do something. And then came up with, that's a very unique idea, you know, using Siri in that way. And so just that concept alone, very unique. Others, as again, I have a bunch of intros in different places, but some of them have, you know, take off songs and different things. But yeah, that is super unique. I like it.
What songs can they take off to preview a tech expert? Do you know of any off the top of your head?
Triple M in Sydney, Gussie Wallland is a massive fan of the Foo Fighters. And I believe the song is called Everlong.
Oh,
and so...
Yeah.
they've got this one that sings my name instead of Everlong, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty, yeah. I'm not a Foo Fighters fan, so it's not as cool as kind of Siri, because that's up my alley, right? But yeah.
And I know that
everyone has a go.
Yeah, no, now it comes to me again. I know that on the Hit Network they have it to the kind of beat of Thong Song by Cisco.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. See what I mean? Travelong. Everyone finds something that rhymes with long. Thank you very much.
it makes it all sound a bit sexier than it is, I guess. Although it is sexy these days, but we'll get to that in a moment. Back to how creative it is to use Siri in that aspect. Look, in terms of technological skills, not that hard to use AI to get the voice down pat, although I definitely wouldn't have put it past you to be able to actually tell Siri to do that, given your skill set.
I'm actually, you know what, you can get Alexa to say a lot of things because you can kind of program it that way, but I don't think it's easy to get Siri to just randomly say things, because Siri is the oldest of the three main voice assistants, Google, yeah, Alexa, and Siri, but she's also the dumbest. Like, she can do things on your phone, like set timers and things and the old sports score, but most of the time Siri's answer is, here's something from the internet, you know, and it's not that useful. So yeah, I would get Alexa to play around with voice more than anything else. But you're right, AI, man, these days, the stuff you can get AI to create, whether it's voices, jingles, photos, and won't be long before we're doing video. It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah, at least with Google, I think it is. If you ask her, how does the ting go? She's like, or something like that. Siri just says, here's what I found from the web.
Yep, they've all got, that's my favorite thing, because I probably use Alexa most. Alexa has a bunch of jokes. She's also got an Australian set of jokes. So you can ask Alexa for Australian jokes and things like that. So I like that they put that effort in.
Mm. Tech expert. It's a term you use, I'm sure you hear used to describe yourself constantly whenever you're introduced to the radio or the TV shows you're part of. And while it's not untrue, you're a lot more than just an expert in tech. Your website, EFTM.com, that was created as a website for blokes, a simple place for them to read about motoring, sports, lifestyle, fitness, and of course, tech. But tech expert, I'm sure, is that just the term described to give you an easy title for everybody to remember, or just make it sound more inclusive?
Yeah, it's 100% purely so that it can be, shall we say, dumbed down for a wider audience. Like when I've done a lot of TV today, and they always ask, and you know, little radio interviews, and they say, just name and title for the tape. I say Trevor Long, technology commentator.
Yeah.
Because that truly defines what I do. I comment on technology. I never say journalist because I'm not a journalist. I'm not trained as a journalist. You know, I write and report, but commentator describes better what I do. But I just don't think people like introducing me as a tech commentator. It doesn't sound as simple, or maybe it's not as authoritative as tech expert.
Our advancing technological society, someone with expertise in technology and gadgets like yourself would no doubt be sought after for inputs across a wide range of places in the professional landscape and in life too, because we rely so much on our devices now, Trev. Do you think smart is finally sexy?
I do. I mean, you think about, just think smart home, right? Just put those two words together. 10 years ago, we've been in our current house now 10 or 11 years, and I remember trying to put bulbs and switches and all that kind of stuff in. It was a bit nerdy. It was it was very early adopter, you know, it was very advanced. Whereas today, it's a much more, you can walk into Harvey Norman and they've got a section on smart home.
Yeah.
I think it's well received. I think it's well regarded now. There's still the nerd aspect to it all. There's always going to be, like, I'm creating music and videos with AI. Not everyone's doing that.
No.
So it's nerdy in that sense. And I don't have a problem with the term nerd at all.
No, like, of course.
It's a term of endearment these days. I guess it maybe used to be, and maybe some people use it poorly, but I think with any kind of label you get given, especially at school, you got to just embrace it, you know, and take it for what it is, because that thing that people label you with could be the thing that is your life and job and career in the future. So I'm very happy to be nerd.
That's right. And look, I'd say that the nerds, well, for me, when I was in school, I was probably a nerd who was trying to be a jock, but the guys that were into computers and the gals that were into computers, they all had their group, and they were all very, very tight and very, very close, but also very, very confident and sure about themselves as well.
I don't have a great memory of school time. I just got a shocking memory, basically. But I do remember at Griffith High School there being like an Apple IIe computer or something, but I don't remember being that into computers at that stage. So I was at Griffith High School year 7 to 10. So I was born in Griffith. We went to Queensland. We went all around the place. And I, year 7 to 10 was when we came back. And I would have had a Commodore 64 computer. I would have had an Amiga. So I would have been into computers for sure. I remember having a Commodore 64 and then an Amiga 500 and stuff like that. But I don't remember being nerdy at school. Do you know what I mean? Other than the fact that I was probably just an obvious nerd.
Well, that being said, it makes a bit of sense because here in Griffith, we're surrounded by wineries, Italian food, footy and agriculture. Mm. It's not exactly fertile ground for budding technology experts now, isn't it?
No, that's right. Yeah. I was much more into motorsport and things as a kid back in those days. A mate of mine, my best mate still to this day, Ian Salvestri, and him and his family had an orange orchard out at Lake Wangan, and I would get the old pedally and ride out to Lake Wangan, and we would muck around, tinker with building a go-kart. We built a go-kart track between the orange orchards, like up and down the rows. Like, that was what we did as kids, as well as good mate of mine, Thomas Moore. We used to find old stuff and make shopping trolley trailers for our cars and walk around town and on the weekends wash cars. Like, so nothing I did as a kid in Griffith was actually very nerdy.
Mm.
It was more just, you know, average teenage or young,
of course,
breaking.
Yeah. So was it F1 or Australian Touring Car Championship growing up, or both?
ATCC, Australian Touring Car Championship was the real passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the era of Brock and Mazira and Perkins and, you know, all that kind of thing. Definitely into Formula One and watched a bit of Formula One. But remember, back then, Formula One was on late at night, just the race. You didn't get practice and qualifying and replays. You had to try and set your VHS recorder to tape it if you wanted to watch it the next day. Like, I'm so old that everything we do today is just still mind-blowing to me. I say that to my kids when they're like, can we stay up? I'm like, no, mate, you can get up in the morning and just hit play. It just works.
That's right.
No, back in my day, it was wild.
And I wouldn't say I'm exactly grey-haired, you know. Only closing in on 3-0 now. But I even having to remember when I started watching V8 Supercars, as they were now called, having to set the tape up and make sure it recorded, because when it was on Channel 10, that was on at night. Now, based upon the names that you called there, Perkins, Mazira, Brock, you're a bit of a Holden guy, are you?
Yes, I've got a shrine. People listening won't see it, but I'll show you quickly. In my office, which is, you know, purely old.
That is awesome.
Old prints, like someone's drawn, and I've got Glenn Seaton, who's just, I think, one of the greats, but never really, you know, rose to the greatest of heights.
Well, he did. He just didn't win Bathurst. Apart from that, he was a champion. He was a legend. He really achieved it all.
He's just weirdly not associated in the same way that Brock and Johnson are, for example. Yeah. But yeah, Holden. And then I became a Nissan man.
Yeah, that's
I was all in on Mark Scaife, Fred Gibson, Jim Richards, and that kind of stuff. You've got a real Griffith connection. It's always going to be Mark Larkham.
Of course.
You know, Larko. Griffith boy.
Mm.
He had, I collected all, like, I had a Mitre 10 truck because he had Mitre 10 sponsorship. And he did a great chat. It's a couple of years ago now, and it's on Listener with Rusty, Greg Rust on Rusty's Garage, where he talks about how he got into the sport and he was knocking on doors down Banner Avenue getting money. And in the end, it was just the word Griffith on the car. And like that's to me, as a kid in Griffith at the time, it was like, man, this guy is from here. Like, it's wild.
Goodness. And it's incredible how he just had Griffith on the car, because what he actually ended up with, you know, Mitre 10 and the nice blue-looking Ford car, was one of the sexiest cars on the grid, although at first it probably struggled a bit, but then he started getting the operation nice and well.
Mark Larkham,
great story. And another
Griffith
person.
You should get him on. He'd be great for the pod.
I would want to grab him on, because I love Larko. He's actually on my Facebook profile picture, because I got one next to him when I went to Bathurst a few years ago.
Nice.
Mate, let's go back to yourself and your career. Because Griffith, as we said, you weren't the stereotypical nerd at school. You still liked cars and that kind of thing. When did you find your passion and talents for tech, and when did you try and decide to make a career out of it?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think it was just always the passion for tech was always there broadly. And again, Commodore 64, Amiga 500, and then in the mid-90s we got into proper computing and I had compact presarios and things like that. And then the internet came around, right? So Aussie Mail, dial-up internet. I was early on there. I was mucking around with it. So I was always that, you know, go-to nerd in the family and the friend group that people would want help and all that kind of stuff. I ended up doing that kind of thing, you know, helping out. I did some tech support for an internet company for years. I started an internet company in Junee and Griffith, the Dragnet Internet Services. I started that up. I remember coming out to it was a Tandy or Dick Smith, probably Dick Smith store at the top opposite side of the top lock of Banner Avenue and doing a deal with them to use their basement to bring in like 20 phone lines, set up 20 modems. And that was the internet for people in Griffith on Dragnet. So yeah, back in the day. So I always had that kind of, I was the go-to guy. And then I got into radio from listening to radio. So I was a big fan of motorsport. David Tapp had a show on in Sydney called Straight Talk. I would ring in every week. I became a pesty caller every week. And ended up doing some work with him in the radio. So got into radio, basically. And then I worked my up into management. And there was one year at 2GB in Sydney, 2007, where there was a guy on air every Thursday night taking calls from listeners. And I'll be honest with you, it was horrible. It was really bad radio. He wasn't answering any questions. It wasn't really helping anyone. And I said to the host, I said, mate, we've got to move on. This is not very good. Okay, so we're going to move on. He goes, I've been doing it for 20 years. We got to do something. And I said, fine, I'll come in and talk about it, right? I sat down in the chair in 2007, and he opened the show. He goes, and here, taking your calls for the next hour is Trevor Long. And I went, taking calls? What? I was just going to give you like 5 minutes of news. And mate, loved it. Like, just callers. It's my number one favorite thing to do is talk to callers. Like, that's why my podcast every week is just people who email me, I call them, I record it, I help them, you know? Mm. And so that very thing. And so really that's what got me started. And then over the years, you do enough radio. Some bloke on Gary McNabb was a producer at A Current Affair. He heard me on the radio. They were doing a story about spy software or something. Rings me and he goes, mate, can you do a story on A Current Affair? I started doing A Current Affair more regularly than not. And then someone at the Today Show said, can we use you? And yeah, mate, it just steamrolls from there basically. And now it's such that, you know, if I'm on the Today Show in the morning, a radio station will see me and they'll ring because they know I'm talking about it. And so, yeah, it spreads like wildfire from there.
Incredible how it came about from you being put right in the hot seat and then finding something you like. It's being pushed down the stairs and falling and landing well on your feet and bouncing up to heavens, basically. If 100%. I was put in that scenario, even if I found out I liked it, I would have soiled myself 100%. I hate being put on the spot like that, even though I'm doing radio now full time and I have been for so many years. So you've been doing tech in the media for close to two decades now, Trev. One half of the country's longest running tech show, Two Blokes Talking Tech with Stephen Fenwick. How long has that been going now? Longest running one in the country now.
I'm pretty sure we hit 13 years in February. So 13 years, we'll record our 631st episode today. Every week. It's funny because he and I are still opposition. Like, he has a website, I have a website, he does radio, he does TV. We're basically arch enemies, but we're also best mates, having spent, you know, a couple of hours with each other every week for the last 14 years. And, you know, he goes on all the same trips I go on, so he's always there, we're always around. It's just fun to kind of sit down and talk for an hour about the tech news of the week. And, mate, it's become something extraordinary. Now we do every week, we publish six podcasts between us. I do one, he does one, and then we do five together or four together. And we're talking movies. We've got electric car podcasts. We do tech. Like, it's its own little mini empire, you know. It's a great fun. Podcasting is such a great medium because, it's as personal as radio, but it's on demand. You know, it's I'm driving. I'm out of range of radio, so I'm going to whack on a podcast or for whatever reason, this is what I want to do right now when I'm out for a walk. And you really get that really intimate connection with audiences. And that's something I've only ever experienced in radio.
Yeah. And when did you and Stephen meet? And how did the idea come about to start the show, Two Blokes Talking Tech?
We met at events, you know, tech events back in you know, probably 15 years ago. And he was a tech expert at 2GB taking calls while I was like assistant program director. So I knew of him there. And then there's a company in Sydney called Media Week who just published, you know, news and information about what's happening in the media. And they would get us together every month or so and just do a Media Week tech podcast. And one day they were running late. We were sitting out the front going, we should just do this ourselves. And then we went, what should we call it? And we're just Two Blokes Talking Tech. So it was a very quick, simple thing. And we started the next week and we do it ever since. And mate, we don't exactly put a lot of effort in. He'll turn up here and we'll spend 10 minutes talking about what we're going to do and then we'll hit record and we're done.
Nice. I wish it was like that for me going on air every day, but no, there's a bit more work that has to go into it for it to pop. How long during or after that did the request to do TV and columns follow?
Yeah, so, 2007 I started doing the media stuff and it's coming up 10-year September to doing the Today Show. And I think it was probably 2 years, maybe 2.5 years of doing radio spots before TV started, really, Current Affair, and then Today Show. And, you know, Today Show, without question, has been the kind of defining thing of my career because it's the most it's the most consistent and like Current Affair has more viewers, but it's kind of on and off, whereas Today Show, I'm reliably on there every week and, you know, I get recognized for it. So it also becomes something that companies want. So I... You know, I have a status, and it sounds egotistical, but it just is what it is. But I have a status within those companies that that's the thing that they want. So when they ring me and say, "Do you want to come to Taiwan for this event?" I'm like, "Do you want me to come to do a podcast?" And they go, "We'd love it if you could do TV." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course you do." You know, I know what they want. So yeah, you know, it's the thing. It's the number one thing people want me for is the Today Show. And so yeah, I love doing that. It's also just an absolutely fun thing to do as well.
It's a full schedule that you've got these days, running EFTM.com, doing Two Blokes Talking Tech and talking with over 50 radio stations across Australia and being the go-to tech guy for the Nine Network online and on screen, not to mention jetting off to Las Vegas or London or wherever the new Samsung or iPhone launch is, which, as a matter of fact, is going to be happening next week for you. Do you still retain, and I think the answer to this question is yes, based upon what you were saying early, because you've got a good mate in Mr. Salvestro. Sorry, I forgot his first name, but you still try to get back here when you can?
Yeah, look, Ian lives in Spain now. He's a motorsport commentator in Spain. In fact, that's probably a great example, again, of finding your passion. Ian, you know, had different jobs, and he's a Griffith boy who now travels Europe commentating on motorsport. It's a remarkable story in itself. And look, I go out, my father passed before I was born, and so I have this kind of deep connection to just kind of visiting his grave, and he's buried in Griffith. And so I try and get out there yearly. I have a brother and my mum's just moving to Young. She used to be up near Tamworth. So Young is now just a hop, skip and a jump away. So it's probably going to be a lot easier to get out there. But yeah, I try and get there once a year. I love the drive. I love driving. And I'm an EV guy, so I like to push the limits of that as well. So yeah, I try and get out every year and you know, just reconnect. Just, mate, I'm weird. I just drive by the old house in Lascock Avenue. I drive by Griffith High School. I do a run up and down Banner Avenue, go to the cemetery and have some Bataldos, and I'm a happy man. You know, like I feel like I'm grounded again.
Let's talk about, and so that is the stuff that grounds you, being able to do those Griffith things and go on the drive back in the country. That's so warming to hear. And let's talk about, just for a moment, that you've touched on the EV driving, because coming back to the country and being able to do that from, you know, wherever it is you are, like, have you found a system that works? Are there enough charging stations? It's a bit interesting in how that's able to happen. How long does it take to get the car nice and charged?
We're still a long way off perfection, but I just bought a Kia EV9, which is the biggest kind of electric car you can buy, and because I've got a family of three kids and a wife, and we took it to Young on the weekend, you know, 4.5 hour drive and back. And look, I knew what I was doing because I've done it before, but I wouldn't love for everyone to do it just randomly because it is different. It's not simple. It's you know, you've got to plan it. You've got to know where you're going to charge. You've got to know what you're going to do. But it is possible. Very, very possible. It's just a matter of knowing what you're doing and planning for it, which is unusual when you're doing a long drive. Normally you just, you know, get in the car and drive and don't have to worry about it. It requires forethought. That's all.
Yeah. Trev, been sensational. Good to have you on the Bidgie Bubble this week. Thanks for giving us your time, particularly when there are so demands for it, given the nature of your work. Remember, you can catch Trevor in the Riverina MIA by listening to the radio before 8 every Tuesday morning on the Triple M Network, watching Channel 9, and of course on his long-running show, Two Blokes Talking Tech. All right, Trev, tell me where Jane Rowe's flying again and what time.
Mackay, 2 a.m.
Yes. All right, here we go. No worries. I'll try and put a wig on and pretend.
Good luck with that.
Fill my chest up. No, I'm too tall, aren't I? I cannot walk as gracefully as a woman can. So
I don't think you'll pass for it.
No. And that's the Bidgie Bubble podcast for this week. Hope you enjoyed that. A thanks once again to Trevor Long for taking the time out of his day to catch up with us and be our guest on the Bidgie Bubble this week. We're going to do it all over again next week. So if you want to get a notification when that new episode drops, simply add Riverina MIA Triple M Breakfast to your favourites on the Listener app. I've been Matty Ray, and I'll be back with you next week.
A Listener exclusive.